This is a Scoop Audio interview. We're talking with Alexander Hemman, the author of The Question of Bruno and Nowhere Man. He's in New Zealand for the New Zealand Post Writers and Readers Week this week. Hi.
Hello.
I suppose a bit about your history first. You were came from Sarajevo, and you were in Chicago in 1992 when war broke out in Bosnia-Herzegovina.
That's right.
Yeah. And so you're writing as an immigrant in the US.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things that fuels people often compare you to Vladimir Nabokov.
Well, I mean, the comparison is flattering, but it really bears no examination because Nabokov wrote, 40 books in two languages. So, that in itself, it just disqualifies me as part of the comparison. So once, if I write 40 books, which is highly unlikely, then maybe, there's a possibility of comparing. But I can see, on the other hand, why people compare me. Nabokov is a much better writer than I will ever be, which is great. But the situation of displacement is, I think, what connects us, if anything. I've always liked Nabokov, but only in recent years I started admiring his Russian works, Russian novels, and stories and novels that were published in Russian in immigration papers, newspapers and magazines, and then published in Berlin and Paris, stories about Russian immigrants in Berlin, and some of them are truly beautiful. And the novels too. The Gift is his last Russian novel, is one of the great ones. It's just behind Lolita, I think, in quality. So yeah, I find it flattering and challenging and inciting in some ways, but really in reality there's no basis for comparison.
Right. In terms of perhaps the use of language, what I'm thinking of is a number of people have come to English as a second language, especially in like modern times, have had quite an influence on writing. Can you understand how that works? It seems like a fresher approach to the language than a native speaker has.
Well, in some ways, I suppose, Carlos Williams, the great American poet, once they asked him about a particular idiom that he used in one of his poems, which the interviewer found somewhat odd. So he asked Carlos Williams where he got that particular expression. And he said, from our Polish mothers. And the way I understand this is that, that people who come into English, they are shake it up a little. In this case, I would think that the Polish mothers, they translated the Polish idiom into English. And, something happened. A spark was visible to Carlos Williams. But on a much greater level, I think the situation of the world today is that there are so many migrants, so many people moving through countries and places, and one of the conduits of that movement, as it were, is the English language. Because a lot of people speak English or can understand English or use English in various ways at home, and when they start moving, that's the other language they use. And what is more interesting is that then the language, the English language, becomes the language of migration. And so, in that sense, I think a lot of people who are entering the English language from elsewhere, they're entering it as migrants. And this is really the contribution in my mind. And I'm one of the, relatively speaking, few, maybe in the past 10 years, who has managed to write books in their non-native language. But there'll be more and more. I think this is something that is not going to be even, remarkable very, very soon. Nobody's going to talk about it.
Well, the title of your session at the Writers and Readers Week is Nowhere Man. That's obviously also the title of your novel. Does it apply to you?
Well, no. Well, in some ways, but and then in some ways, not at all, because I guess that I'm everywhere more than nowhere.
Right.
In some ways, you know, it's some years ago, New Zealand would have seemed so far out of my reach. But it is nothing to me to come here. It doesn't seem far. Partly, for instance, because I know people here. I have friends who I thought were in Wellington, but in fact they moved back to Auckland. But it, you know, people I knew in Sarajevo some years ago. And so the sense, there's a particular Bosnian situation, not just Bosnian, but, you know, it pertains to my life that it is Bosnian, that there are people everywhere. So wherever I go, there are people I can connect with, and I'm connected with them through our past. And so it was hard, and it's a privileged situation. Many people can't do that. And Pronek in the book couldn't do that. I'm capable of sort of picking up the pieces of my previous life all over the world, and then, you know, trying to put them into a coherent, put them together into a coherent unit of my life. And that's a privileged situation. That's something that I, on the one hand, can do because of my writerly situation, but also something that I strive for. So, yeah, not exactly. Pronek in the book, he cannot possibly do that. He's displaced and he has not found another place to be. For me, the other place is, on the one hand, Chicago, and on the other hand, it's the world.
Yeah. I was going to ask everyone, it seems like in talking about your work is also very interested in your own story, and whether the characters, particularly Pronek, is some kind of alter ego for you.
Well, he's not, you know, I really have no reason to speak about myself in a concealed manner. I mean, to have a character. I have the direction of exchange is the opposite one. I put my experience into Pronek and then add stuff to create someone who is unlike me. Now there are overlapping things, and this overlapping interests me, but, you know, I think of him as not me. Someone who may be on a certain kind of continuum with me. Say we would have grown up, if you were a real human being that is not a fictional character, we would have grown up at the same time, we would have gone to the same clubs, we, you know, could have possibly dated the same girls and all this. So we would be close, but not the same. And I think of our paths as, you know, parallel paths. So us, if you wish, as Pronek and I are kind of Siamese twins. You know, we're not the same person, but we're inseparable. And so it's not an alter ego. That's, you know, strictly speaking.
Is there something that you're working on now?
Well, there are a couple of things, really, that I do very slowly and at the same time, and which, of course, makes me wonder if I would ever finish them.
Is there anything you're prepared to share there?
Well, one of them, one of the books, when I finish it, will be a book of stories, and most of which have been published in The New Yorker so far. And the other one is, well, it's too complicated to, you know, reduce it. It's hard for a writer to talk about it.
Yeah.
It, on the one hand, it's related to an incident in Chicago in 1908, when the chief of Chicago police shot an immigrant at his doorstep because he said he was a Jewish refugee from Kishinev, a survivor of the Kishinev program. The chief of police said, as soon as I saw him, I knew he was an anarchist because he looked Jewish or Armenian. And so that part of that book deals with that incident. The other one thing deals with more contemporary situation. And so somehow that needs to be connected and organized into a coherent whole, which is what I'm struggling with right now.